Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 31 in our teaching series, The Third Side in the Clash of Three Kingdoms, titled Proverbs, Prophetic Wisdom, Part 2. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
So we've got this clash going on. Subtitle is Learning to Have Wisdom to Win the War. Now, I first had to win the battle, and then I thought, oh no, I got to change that one because I've lost some. So it's about having wisdom to win the war. It doesn't mean that we win every battle, but we do win the war. We know according to scriptures that it's been won. Well, it's if I'm going to approach it from when I lose a battle, or it appears that I lose a battle, am I approaching it, though, that I have this understanding that ultimately we win? The victory is there. So I find that if I'm going to have wisdom when we approach Proverbs, that Solomon is approaching and sharing with us something that's called wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Now let's look at it. I want to read just another little story here as we begin. There was a little boy about 10 years old was standing before a shoe store on the roadway, barefooted, peering through the window and shivering with cold. A lady approached the boy and said, "My little fellow, why are you looking so earnestly in that window?" He said, "I was asking God to give me a pair of shoes," was the boy's reply. The lady took him by the hand, went into the store, and asked the clerk to get a half dozen pairs of socks for the boy. She then asked if he could give her a basin of water and a towel. He quickly brought them to her. She took the little fellow to the back part of the store and, removing her gloves, knelt down, washed his little feet, and dried them with a towel. By this time, the clerk had returned with the socks. Placing a pair upon the boy's feet, she purchased him also a pair of shoes. She tied up the remaining pairs of socks and gave them to him. She patted him on the head and said, "No doubt, my little fella, you feel more comfortable now." As she turned to go, the astonished lad caught her by the hand and, looking up in her face with tears in his eyes, answered the question with these words, "Are you God's wife?" He knew God had shown up, but it was a woman. So he said, "Are you God's wife?" You know, it's amazing how when we start walking in wisdom, as the book of Proverbs is teaching us and showing us, wisdom is a part of God. And I want to show you that today, that wisdom is what God used when he framed the earth, when he created the world. So with that in mind, and I put in there also the author is unknown. As we start this book of Proverbs, I want us to get an overview of what's going on here. Now, this Proverbs, we see the book of Proverbs as a book of wisdom, but there's basically three books that are considered books of wisdom. Of course, the first one being Proverbs. The second one is Ecclesiastes. Now, you think, how in the world? It seems like that whoever wrote it, probably Solomon, had a bad attitude or something with the book of Ecclesiastes. Believe it or not, the book of Ecclesiastes is considered a book of wisdom. It's kind of from another point of view. Then we got the book of Job. That's considered a book of wisdom. So we basically have three books considered books of wisdom in the Bible. It's Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job. Now, these are three different approaches, and I want to show us these. So when we see the book of Proverbs, it's teaching us one aspect of wisdom. Now, with Proverbs, it is from the idea, it's kind of coming from the perspective of a very wise young teacher. So it's more, I mean, Solomon wasn't very old. Some say when he received the gift of wisdom, some say 14. As I've read numbers as high as 20. There's more around 12 to 14. So he was considered very young when he received him. Ecclesiastes is a middle-aged critic. So I'm glad I left that one. I'm an old-age critic, I reckon. But the book of Ecclesiastes, I tell people that Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs when he had the Queen of Sheba with him. When she left him, he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And don't know that that's really true, but that's the way I like to say it. Now, the book of Job, he's an old man that kind of endured life. So Proverbs, a little more of a young man with wisdom. Ecclesiastes, more from a middle-aged critic who kind of thinks he knows everything with a bad attitude, but yet there's wisdom in there. And then Job is kind of the weathered old man. But there's tremendous wisdom there to walk with God. But it's also a reality, as what I was wanting to say, too, in these three. There's such a reality of life in these three books of wisdom, how to approach life, how to live life, what is true. The book of Proverbs, these three wisdom books, really, all three books, they start showing us, we like it that God says this and it equals this. That's what we want, right? Well, that's a promise of God. Well, it's a little more than that. When we understand books of wisdom, we start understanding how God thinks. Now, I tell you what's truth. God's not some sweet little fairy tale floating around out here. God thinks. God has an attitude. Now, sometimes I'm not going to say it's good or bad. It's just God's attitude. But God thinks. God is somebody's a person. So the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the book of Job, we're trying to say what is right or wrong. And God says, here's me. This is me. This is how I think. And so when we go back to the garden with Adam and Eve, we understand before the fall of man that they had a relationship with God. They did not know good and evil. Wasn't until the fall. And so anyway, this is when you approach these three books of wisdom, if you really and truly are serious on how God thinks, then that's what these three books are about. Now, Solomon, the son of David, is primary author and a collector of the book of Proverbs. We'll go through a lot of just information, and then we'll get into some of the spiritual applications. The advice that is given in this book transcends time, and its truths are still true. Here's a few things to keep in mind when we're studying and as we're studying the book of Proverbs. First, Proverbs is in six parts. Now, we got verses 1-7 is like being written to sons. It's like if you were writing something to sons. Then we have verses 8-9. Is the praise of worship, 10-19, the folly of sin. Warnings and instructions are 20-29. Now, and you'll notice there that when we start off with, it's really kind of 10 through 29, it's really where, 10-20, but include 29, is where we get these little snippets of wisdom, what we think of in Proverbs. But it's got an introduction, and then it has a closure with three chapters in the book. So let's look at it. Then we have in verse 30 the words of Agar, and then in 31 the words of King Lamel, or however he pronounced his name. Now, here's a little bit more of an outline if you were doing a study. Wisdom and folly contrasted. I went over that last week. I'll go just a little hint, a little more this week. How in chapters 1 and 9, it's a comparison, it's a contrast. Proverbs of Solomon, written and said in order by himself, is basically chapters 10-24. So we're going exactly on what Solomon put into place. Now, the other chapters are Solomon, but they're penned by other people. Proverbs of Solomon or set in order by men of Hezekiah. That's chapters 25 through 29. That's after Solomon, but they wrote them down. Oracle of Agar, he's an unknown sage, which is a wise person, a person of wisdom, is in chapter 30. Then Proverbs of a mother of Lemuel, chapter 31. He was actually a king. He was not Hebrew, but he was a king, had wisdom. Evidently, the writer liked it and put it in there. So now the first halves, or chapters 1 through 9, are an introductory course on divine wisdom, and with Solomon writing as a father teaching his son. So as you're looking at verses, chapters 1 through 9, when we get into the little individual Proverbs, it's in light of chapters 1 through 9. You don't really get into just these little Proverbs until after chapter 9, but 1 through 9, it's like Solomon's wanting to pass this wisdom, this understanding, on to a son. So we read 1 through 9. That sets us up then for 10 and then the rest of the book. We are also introduced to Lady Wisdom. And this is in chapters 1 through 9. So it's you'll see, this is one reason it's called Hebrew poetry, but as he's talking to a son, there's different metaphors, there's different imagery that Solomon uses to convey a truth. And that's what we start learning. One is called Lady Wisdom, and actually the New Agers love that it's called Lady Wisdom. The first nine chapters of the book of Proverbs contrast Lady Wisdom to a foolish woman. So as you're reading those chapters 1 through 9, you can see that he's talking about a foolish woman at times. But it's a contrast. Lady Wisdom and the foolish woman are not the same person. He's making a comparison, or what we call a contrast, there in those first nine chapters. If we want to be wise in the way we live, we're told to listen to Lady Wisdom, not to the woman without any maturity or sense. So we can see in 1 through 9 is also full of comparisons. And then when we get into some of the Proverbs that are comparisons, you can understand the reasoning. Now, Proverbs 30 was written by Agur, son of Jotham. In some passages of Proverbs, the sages, or a wise man who wrote the book, are named. Proverbs 25 through 29. Were produced by scribes living in the days of Hezekiah after the lifetime of Solomon. 31 tells us that it was written by King Lemuel. This is the famous chapter about the virtuous woman, which we all know about. Can anybody pronounce that word? Chokmah. You always wanted to be able to say that, didn't you? I know you did. Chokmah. It's the biblical Hebrew word. Wisdom is the spiritual, gravity of the natural world. You can't see it, but it reflects everything. Now, the Hebrew word for wisdom is chokmah. That's the Hebrew word for wisdom. And wisdom is the spiritual. Now, just think with me for a moment, because we got to take a linear word, and we got to think like a Hebrew for a moment is what we have to do, because it was written in light of that. Wisdom is the spiritual gravity of the natural world. You can't see it, but it affects everything. I was just trying to see how in the world can we start conveying and get some, we need some wisdom on wisdom. And so we see that the word there is a chokmah. It's translated as wisdom. But it's more than our idea of wisdom. It has a greater meaning. It is a spiritual force that cannot be seen. That's the reason I compare it to gravity. But think of wisdom as spiritual gravity. Now, if you want to stay on the ground in the spirit, you got to have wisdom. You got to have chuchmah. And we see people all the time in Christianity trying to be real spiritual, but with no chuchmah. Right? And so, well, so what's the problem? Wisdom, that's the reason I call wisdom spiritual gravity. It holds us, it grounds us to things of the Spirit, to the Word of God. And so that's the reason the Hebrew word, the chuchmah, is so important. I want to show you a little bit more about it. So it's a spiritual force that cannot be seen. So wisdom, part of wisdom is, it's a spiritual force. Now just start considering that. Wisdom, book of Proverbs, is not verses to memorize and recite, even though you can do that. But that's not the idea with the writer of the book of Proverbs. Number one, he's trying to show us how God thinks. That's huge. You ever wanted to know? It's the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes and Job. If you want to know how God thinks. I mean, Job was doing pretty good, and God took everything he had. Job did pretty good for the most part. He had a time or two he started to fold. So how does God think? That's how God thinks. God can bless us and give us to us, and we can lose it. The question is, our responses to God is supposed to be the same when we have much or if we have nothing. It's not supposed to be based on God can bless us. What if he takes all those blessings away? Are we still the same person? It is with that test that we know if we truly are committed or love God, or if we love God because of his stuff, right? So we get through the book of Job, it shows us that part of God. And God's really serious about this thing called life. He knows it's short for us, and he's trying to get us through it and to come out the other side at a better place. So we see that it's a spiritual force, wisdom is, or chuchmah, that cannot be seen. Wisdom, or chuchmah, is a great part of who God is. So I want you to start seeing Proverbs under a little different light. That wisdom, or chuchmah, is a great part of who God is. So all of a sudden, it's not necessarily all words, but it's a spirit. We know, we talked about it with the elders in prayer this morning, that this age and day that we're living in, that I don't care if you're on the right or the left, or if you're for mask, or if you're against mask, or I don't care where your position is. But then it seems like it can almost, a spirit of the thing can get people. All of a sudden, they're barbaric and hateful, and there's not such thing as a discussion, right? It's just there's not such thing as a discussion. You know, it's kind of like there's a spirit behind it, but it's not God is the point. And we're looking for. I've got my opinion. You've got your opinion, but God's got his opinion. And the whole, and it's not that there's not an opinion out there. I don't think we're supposed to have the attitude, well, anything goes. I'm not going to have a conflict with you or whatever. I'm not going to. If God's word gives you a conflict, guess what? We got a conflict. That's just the way it is. So it's not like we're late. We're being real passive. And I'm just going to lay it down. I'm going to get along with everybody. That's not the idea here. The idea here is we need to know. I think I shared last week how I kind of told somebody off on the phone and I was wrong, right? I'm not going through it again. That was humiliating enough. The point being, I will stand for truth, but I really need to know what the truth is. I don't have a problem with standing. Trust me, I can stand. But it just so happens I need to stand on truth. Now, the way it works is you think you got the truth. And I don't know why I can't see it before I get egg on my face. But just the second I'm done, I see it. It's like I just heard myself. And so I don't, everybody's encouraged to stand. For the most part, people don't have a problem with standing. To know what to stand on's the problem. That's the issue. So with the book of Proverbs and with spiritual wisdom, well, it's obvious in my phone call that I wasn't using wisdom. I was using everything but wisdom. It was just, you know, I was acting, well, the truth is I was just barbaric, I guess. Now, but we want to consider that wisdom is a great part of who God is. And that's spirit, who God is. So wisdom has a spirit to it, is my point. And that spirit's part of God himself. Now, he used it when he created the world. So it is woven. Now think of this. It is woven in the fabric of everything. That's the point. Wisdom, because God is the creator of all things, wisdom is woven in the fabric of everything. So if I want to get through this world and I want to be able to operate in everything, I'm looking for the wisdom that's there to deal with everything. Are you with me? So as we start taking on this more of this Hebrew concept of wisdom or chokmah, we start taking on this, okay, we're trying to get it, God. We're trying to get that true wisdom is spirit. I don't have time to get into it today, but I'll give you this one. To walk in spirit without wisdom is devastating. And you can do it. You can walk in spirit and have low, very, very low grade of chokmah. Right? So if we're going to walk in the spirit with power, it's important. If you want to operate in the gift of healing, it's important that you have chokmah. Because it's creative. It's that creative wisdom of God. All right, let's move a little further here. When we are making good decisions, now think of this. Perhaps we're guilty of this too. When we are making good decisions, we are connecting with chokmah. When we make good decisions, that's what we're connecting with. As you read the book of Proverbs, you'll see that a lot of the Proverbs are talking about making good decisions. So decision making is important. Matter of fact, it's up there about number one. Decision making is the same thing as the word choices. So for me to make the correct choice, I must do it with this element of chokmah, wisdom. Not my wisdom, but God's wisdom, right? So all of a sudden I can say, okay, I can make the right decision by connecting with this wisdom of God. Now, when we make bad decisions, we are working against chokmah. That wasn't hard to figure out. Didn't take much wisdom, did it? I think I put it up here. In Proverbs 1:32, it says this, "For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of the fool shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." Wow. One's agreeing with chokmah, the other one's disagreeing with chokmah. And it says it there in the Proverbs. Now, we're going to see, and I'm going to show you a contrast, I can't do it yet. Let me wait till I get there. Now, chokmah is moral truth that is woven into all creation. All right, I want you to get that. Chokmah, or wisdom, is a moral truth that is woven into creation. In other words, I don't care what conversation you're in or what topic you're wanting to talk about, God has wisdom to be applied to that situation. You can say, well, Alan, I can't memorize all those Proverbs. That's the reason I said to you, this is spirit. So God's Holy Spirit will speak to you. It will come to you in a form of wisdom. And you will utter something in the situation that you did not previously know. It's called wisdom. It's called hoopma. It's spirit. I'm sure you've done it. All of a sudden, you respond to a situation, you're like, wow, that's pretty good. Didn't know I knew that. I mean, raise your hand. Come on, don't be bashful. Give me a little feedback here. Okay, that's hoopma. That's what the writer of Proverbs is talking about. It causes us to make right choices. It causes us to have these answers. There again, it's not memorizing a verse. Even though we can do that, the verses are giving us examples. We'll probably read very little of Proverbs in this overview because I'm expecting you to read it, number one. But number two, I'm going to teach you how we approach the book, what its purpose is. How does it work? Book of Proverbs is, I guess, I've read it as much as any book, trying to grab and grasp the spirit of wisdom, of hoopma. And then it's that the Holy Spirit, we say we want to hear the voice of God. We want to hear the voice of God. That's hoopma. We're wanting to hear this voice that's wisdom. And all of a sudden, when it comes to you, you can know something. You can know without a shadow of a doubt. You just heard from God. It's part of His Spirit. Can anybody say Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit. And so I've said to you, I think we're on a quest. I'm on a quest to be in a better relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. So consider that it's woven into all creation. So therefore, when we go to hoopma, we are not thinking very well, or as I call it, so when we go against hoopma, we are not thinking very well, or as I call it, we are acting insane. It's insanity. It's To disagree with God is definitely an insane thought. It's got to be crazy. It's got to be just greater than crazy. But as believers and as Christians, we have been given the opportunity to think like God would think in any given situation. That's what it's saying. The trick, if there is one, if you will, is to die to self that Christ might live through us. It's learning how to do that. Now, Proverbs 1 through 9 personifies hoopma as a woman. That's where he refers to it as Lady Wisdom. She is called Lady Wisdom. Hoopma is more than just learning. The fullness of the word hoopma is to create life like a craftsman. Now, we're going into stage 2 of the word. You develop the skill of how to work with it. So when we get wisdom from God, it's more than just a word. A craftsman is someone who crafts something. In other words, when you see this Hebrew word, it is with the understanding that you've been given hoopma to create something or to be a craftsman in something. Not only that, from a Hebrew perspective, you can develop the skill of how to work with it. So we start seeing that the book of Proverbs is actually speaking about the Holy Spirit of God. So we can get a skill in how to work with the Holy Spirit of God, and it's done through hoopma, which God given us wisdom on how to work with His truth and with His Spirit. That is, as you have a movement or a revival spirit or an outpouring, it is of necessity as leaders and as people that we understand the wisdom, the hoopma of the revival spirit of the outpouring. Now, Moses This is just a little reference here of Moses and the tabernacle when they built a tabernacle in the wilderness. This is what the Lord said to Moses. He's saying, "See, I have called by name Beelzebul, the son of Ur, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God." This is the Lord saying this. "I have filled this guy in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all matter of what? Workmanship." So you got to understand that same word is hukmah. Same word for wisdom. "To devise," here's why he's done it, "to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and brass and in the cutting of stones, to set them and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship." So God gives hukmah to those that'll do something with it. He knows up front if you're going to do something with it or not. If you're not going to do nothing with it, guess what? You're going to come to me and say, "Alan, it doesn't work. I don't ever get any hukmah. Can't get it at Walmart either." So what happens? We have to have a predetermination in our heart that we will do what God says, the wisdom says to do. This is not optional. We have to have a heart that we're going to do what we know. If you're going to get wisdom upon what you know, are you with me? That's the same word, the same instance that you had of the craftsman who was building the tabernacle in the wilderness. Now, hukmah is not just learning, for it is an attribute of God Himself. So as we start, we thought, wisdom was just a state of being. Well, wisdom is not just a state of being. Wisdom is a relationship with the attribute of God. In other words, y'all have heard me say it before. If you come to my farm when we're milking, you come in the milk barn, you stay there 10 minutes, you can leave, go out in the car where somebody's waiting on you, and they're going to say, "Ew, you smell like a cow." Right? But because you smell like a cow, it doesn't make you a cow. Right? So when we truly hang out with God, we get it's the attributes of God, which is wisdom. It's part of His Spirit. It's part of who He is. It's the part of us that's being transformed. We're being transformed. So God wants us to be an agent to this world. It's being transformed through His hukmah. And that transformation brings wisdom to any set of problems, which gets us to the next problem. If you are one that carries hukmah, people with problems will find you. You still want it? People came from all over to Solomon. Why? Because he had the wisdom of God. He had the heart of God. He had the understanding of God. One of the things in understanding God is, you've heard it, you've been taught before, that when the Holy Spirit of God is speaking, it is always with redemption in mind. Our whole purpose on the planet is for redemption. I was with two Native Americans over the weekend, and one was Dr. Nigel Big Pond, was his name. And he's a chief of some of the tribes out in Oklahoma. And there, what God has him doing is he goes around different places, and perhaps you've heard of it, and I've heard of it, never seen it done. And they redeem the land, they call it, redeeming the land. And I thought I knew all you needed to know about redeeming the land, but I got a little hoopmah over the weekend. And when I really knew they had something I didn't have in redeeming the land, is when they started praying. My nerve. I didn't know whether to cry or run. And I'm not kidding. their prayer. You can't pray that loud. You can't do it. There's like a PA system, and I'm very serious. It was just ringing. It was ringing. It was so loud, like you would holler in a big valley or something. It was just vibrating. I thought, my land, what is that? It's like a shofar of the mouth or something. I absolutely couldn't believe it. And the longer they prayed, the more to the ground I went. You had to. You just. And he first started praying in Cherokee, and then he switched to English. And he caught second gear or something. I don't know what he did. My land. But his purpose and his call is redeeming of land. So I knew, and I stand before you today, there's something to that. And it's something that I don't have. So, you know, what I did, that was Friday night. I said, I need y'all at my farm on Sunday. That's right.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. I didn't have that oopmah, but I was going to get theirs on my land, I'll tell you that. So they came to the farm on Sunday, and that's when we talked and they prayed. And there again, I stand before you, and you can't. There's no way I expect you to get what I'm trying to say fully unless you were there. But I've never heard such a volume come out of a human being. And so I knew that it was the Spirit taking that prayer, increasing the volume probably 100 times. I mean, it was almost deafening. I know y'all think I'm making this up. I'm really not making it up. It was deafening. So I knew the Spirit of God was taking that prayer and it was hitting the ground. I knew it. I've never heard anything like that. But anyway, I don't know how I got off on all that. It was hoopmah, though. So I stole some of their hoopmah. But they had the wisdom of redeeming. That's what it was headed for. They had the wisdom. They had the wisdom that went with that truth of redeeming redeeming the land. And they even told me situations that they can hear it talk. You can hear the cries of, he's went to places and that there's been battles or murder or whatever, and they didn't know it. And they'd look back in the, you know, the newspapers and stuff, and right there it was, you know. It was just so amazing how he could hear the cry of the land. So, but hoopmah is not just learning, for it is an attribute of God himself. So that's what we want to start grabbing hold of, that we are, just like the Native Americans, God's given them a gift that they are so attached to the attribute of God in the soil and in the ground. So there's more. When I saw them yesterday, I mean, it just arrests my soul, because there's so much of the spiritual world. There's so much of Christianity. There's so much of, I mean, what I have experienced and know is very little. You know that? It is very, very, very little. But there's a lot for us to possibly learn and to see. Now, so therefore, hoopmah shows us how God thinks. To a Hebrew, this is a journey through life. Now, I want us to again take it from a Hebrew perspective. To a Hebrew, hoopmah is the journey of life. That's the reason they created the Talmud. I used to be pretty judgmental against them for creating a Talmud until I got into it, and it was probably written with a lot of hoopmah in mind. it was the wisdom that is in the Talmud. So, but to the Hebrew, this is a journey through life, and that's the reason the Talmud was created, why they wrote it down for them to read, is to help them through this journey with God and his wisdom. So the writer shows us where the journey begins. Now, here we are, Hebrew student, a father speaking to a son. And here he says, here's where this, and they are thinking in terms of to walk in the Spirit is to walk in chokmah, with God's attribute of who God is, which we have this opportunity now in His Holy Spirit. It's been spelled out for us. So we can walk in the Holy Spirit with God and understanding that the Holy Spirit has wisdom. And this is the attribute of God. This is how God thinks. And so here we see the journey begins. The beginning of the journey of chokmah or wisdom. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but the fools despise wisdom and instruction. So here we see, and here's what he's saying. The Hebrew, is what he was saying in a Hebrew mindset. To begin this journey of life, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. When we leave the fear of the Lord, we have left the path. What is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is to respect good and evil. I say respect them both. To respect good and evil. I mean, evil will hurt you. Did you know that? Evil will hurt us. Evil will bring death and not life. To respect good and evil means that you see them clearly for their true value. And so to have a respect, I mean, just like evil today, we can't turn our back to it and just be nonchalant and it doesn't make any difference. It'll pass. To have a respect for good and evil is and evil is for me to understand that's dangerous. That's the fear of the Lord. I need to understand evil is dangerous. So if I'm considering to do an evil thing, number one, there's no chokmah included. I've thrown it out the window, and I'm wanting to make my own choice, which is insane, thinking I'm going to go down my own path and still end up with God. Now, that's insane. So there again, I'm trying to convey something of spirit. I'm praying the Holy Ghost is speaking to your hearts individually and is saying more than I'm saying. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. To walk in wisdom, knowledge, now, is to have a healthy respect for what God has to say about good and evil. I didn't know I made a note of good and evil. To walk in wisdom, knowledge, is to have a healthy respect for what God has to say about good and evil. It's just not good and evil. It is what God says about good and evil. Are you with me? That's the reason I say I have no problem with anybody. But if you and I have a problem with what God says, we got a problem. I'm just got a problem. I don't have a problem with you. God's got a problem with you. And you got a problem with God. To have a healthy respect for good and evil, we must have definitions that are distinct. That's the reason I get in. I'll just do that other slide. But we had to have a healthy respect for good and evil. And I've taught you this and I've said this, that distinction today is huge. It's a biggie because distinction is how we determine what is good and evil. And the enemy today wants to blur those lines. So there is no distinction. Here we go. Distinction. Distinction is the necessary spiritual tool to speak and see prophetically and to see truth. Let me give you some background of it. Leviticus 10:10 says this, and so as to make a distinction between the holy and the profane and between the unclean and the clean. This was what was declared, that Israel was to make a distinction between what was clean and unclean, and you can go through Leviticus and see what all that is. My point being here is they were commanded to make a distinction between the two, and we see today that the two are being blurred, right? So guess what? Houston, we got a problem. We got a problem. Now, do I have a problem with those individuals that are doing that? I don't. But we do have a problem with God. Now, let's watch this verse. It's in Ezekiel 22, 26. Her priests do violence to my instruction and profane my holy things. They make no distinction between the holy and common, and they do not explain the differences between the clean and unclean. They disregard my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. So here we are doing a contrast, like in the book of Proverbs, and you start seeing prophetically, part of the language of the prophetic is making contrast and comparisons. One is making a distinction, and the other one here we see is making no distinction. So as we're walking with God, understanding how God thinks, I cannot overemphasize how the distinction is a main component to understanding truth. Okay, it's 9:30. I've just thrown a lot of facts at you today and trying to make some understanding out of it. I hope you have learned a new word, hukma. And it's the Hebrew definition of wisdom. And we'll continue next week in this definition of wisdom as we proceed in the book of Proverbs. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this day. I ask and pray, oh God, that if anything I've said is not of you, that truly it would not just be disregarded. If anything that I've said is of you and trying to convey truth and spirit, I pray, oh God, that it'll be quickened to our hearts. Let us, oh God, capture your Holy Ghost. Let us capture your voice, the way you think, what you have to say. Help us, oh God, to walk with you and hear your spirit. Let us stand on truth, and this truth is your truth. Help us, oh God. Be with us in our worship. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.